Hello, and welcome back. Been a couple of weeks. 2 weeks, I think. 2.5 weeks, maybe. Been to Israel. Back to Baltimore. A lot of places in Israel went touring. So, a lot of things to talk about. And we have a little interesting format today. We're going to change the history portion a bit. We're not going to talk about Jewish history. We'll talk about some other type of history, which you may find amusing. Probably not. But, with that being said, let's get started. Let's first say a piece of Tehillim, Kapitel Tehillim. Shiramas, Soinai, El, Heorimi, Ein, Yevo, Ezri. Ezri, Meim, Adonai, Oisei, Shemai, Varetz, Ali, Tehil, Lamo, Raglecha, Ali, Anum, Shemrecha. Hinei, Lunum, Vleishon, Shemrei, Yisrael, Adonai, Shemrecha, Noitzucha, Yad, Menecha. Yam, Shem, Shalakeka, Varech, Balela, Adonai, Yishmarcha, Mikra, Yishmar, Esnaf, Shecha. Adonai, Yishmar, Tzeisach, Vecha, Meata, Vyad, Olam. Any cholim that you know about, or just have in mind cholim for Klal Yisrael, people that you know that are not feeling that doing well. I just heard on Shabbat that in Baltimore there's a child that had meningitis, but Baruch Hashem was released. Thank God was released and is home. Another young person was in the hospital and is at a critical condition, but there are people that need a refuah shleima, that needs Hashem's intervention for a recovery. So, if you can have them in mind while you're saying Tehillim, that would hopefully help their situation, their matzav. Let's see. Been to Israel for Sukkot for the holiday. Went up north, back to Jerusalem. Went to the Tzimmer, the Tarnagol in Katzrin. In Israel, Tzimmer is a bungalow. It's actually a Hebrew word for bungalow. It's a pretty big to-do. There's maybe 50, perhaps. If you go to zimmer.co.il, the website, you see a whole stack of them in different places. Most of them are North Israel, where it's, open land, I guess. You're prettier up there. It's kind of nice up there. The entire year, it's the weather's pretty nice up there. Not too hot. It's a little breezy up there. So, we took the kids, went with David's family as well, and we went up north to Katzrin. Actually, it's about 20 minutes from the Kinneret, a little bit north, northeast of the Kinneret in the Golan Heights, Golan area. It's really nice up there. It's fantastic up there. We went walking in Majersey, which is again near the Kinneret, which is a wading stream. You can walk in the water. It's kind of nice there. May Aden Water Factory, olive oil making, horseback riding. We actually saw our street name in Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph. All the streets are named after Nachal, and we live on Nachal El Al. And people, A, have never heard of that. B, equate El Al with the airlines, which we'll talk about a little bit later as well. Made the newspaper today. We'll talk about that in a bit. But there actually is a Nachal El Al. Most people that do not live in Israel have never heard of it or do not know where it is. But people in Israel do go to Nachal El Al. It's actually about 25 minutes from Katzrin, not too far from the Kinneret. In the Golan, Ramat Golan, in the Golan area. And there's two waterfalls there. There's a white waterfalls, a black waterfalls. Of course, the water's not black or white, but the rock is black, gives off the black impression. And it's about an hour, a little over an hour hike down the mountain, down the falls to get there. Water's really cold, so after a nice hike, weather was like maybe the 80s, sun beating down on you, you get to swim in the water, really hot, and that was a fantastic teal. Unfortunately, I had to carry Tamar, the 3-year-old, on my shoulders for the entire time. But that was great. That was actually the fantastic part. Of course, the best part of the entire trip was the free meal at Susanna's Bar and Grill Bistro thingy. Near Katzrin, there's a kosher steak place where we took the kids for one night, and they had the hamburgers and schnitzel. We had steaks, and the food was fantastic. So the next night, just Panina and I, my wife, myself, Duvid Sarabella, his wife, we went out there. Unfortunately, we waited about 2 hours to finally get a seat. Again, it was Sukkot, so you have to eat in a sukkah. And just took a while to get a seat. Finally, we got the seat. All the orders were messed up, except for Duvid's, who was happy with his steak. But my order did not come back correct. Panina's order did not come back. Actually, Panina's order didn't come back correct because she ordered the edible mixed grill, and it came back raw mixed grill. Now, of course, we should have probably taken it back and cooked it up in a barbecue or something, but, well, the meals were kind of, the orders were kind of messed up. Turns out after speaking to the waitress and then speaking to the owner or manager of the place, the meal did come back free. So we saved about, maybe 400 shekel, about $100. So, despite the food poisoning that ensued, that was great. You know, usually in Israel, everyone fights over every penny, every shekel, and first they were willing to take off 15% of the bill, but after a little persistence and speaking to the manager, he just let us have the entire meal for free. So, again, besides the food poisoning, it was really fantastic. The worst part, I think, was the horseback riding. Panina wanted to go horseback riding with the older kids, which was fine. Unfortunately, that left me, as well as Moshe and Tamar, pony riding. Sarbela was watching her little one, Natan, in the car, who was sleeping. So I took Sroli, and Moshe, and Tamar stayed outside the corral. And I walked around the corral with little horses. Not ponies, actually, they were horses, leading the horses. I felt like Haman. Those people know the Purim story, know that the king wanted to reward Mordechai, so he had Mordechai dress up in the royal clothes and the royal hat and ride the royal horse, and it was Haman who paraded Mordechai through the streets in front of the horse. And at one point, the Medrash says that garbage was thrown down on him, and this really embittered Haman. No garbage fell down on me, but as you can imagine, usually when you have a corral of horses, the horses actually don't go to the Sheratim or the bathrooms. The horses go where they go. They just stop and do their stuff. So about maybe 10 parents were leading their children on these horses and walking in, you know, you can imagine what they're walking in or what I was walking in, trying to avoid stepping in it directly. So this may have been the low point. You know, horseback riding is fun if you're on the horse. Not so much fun when you're leading a horse, walking in, horse crap, what can I tell you? So that was that. There's an article, speaking about El Al, actually, coincidentally enough, there was an article in the newspaper in Haaretz about El Al losing money. And it's tough to imagine. Again, I don't, never worked for an airline, don't know exactly what goes into running an airline, but there's so many flights El Al operates, and the ones I've been on are always packed. I mean, they're always packed. And today it was announced that El Al is going to have layoffs, which will probably, you know, about 400 temporary employees, about another 500 regular, and eventually, at some point in the future, it'll be about 900 total employees that will be losing their jobs, unfortunately. Management's calling on people to participate in travel costs. So, for example, in Israel, usually you have a company car, and the company pays for the gas and the insurance and any damages that happen to the car, and they're asking people to contribute about 10 shekel per trip. So, if you live in Jerusalem and you have to go to load to the airport, they want you to contribute about 10 shekel each trip. So, in about a week, 5 days, 10 trips, 100 shekel. So it's about, you know, $20 which not too much. I don't know if that will save the company a lot of money, but that's what they say. They also want the management wants people to spend less time abroad and stay at lower class hotels. When a pilot goes from Israel to New York, they spend probably close to a week in New York. Same thing with the stewardesses and the steward flight attendants. They spend the week at the place, depending how far away it is. They don't make them come back the next day. They spend a day or two or three or four in that city. So that's what they announced, that they're losing millions of dollars. They registered a profit of $30 million in the second quarter of last year. And this year, the first half of the year, they're already losing the $27 million. So I thought of a couple ways they could probably save money. First, less meals. Okay? You've been on the airline flights, you know what LL is serving, the chicken, the rice thing, the whole shebang. You serve less meals or less food in the meal, that would cut down on people, A, using their motion sickness bags, and also trips to the bathroom. I mean, less airline food, less trips to the bathroom. I think that makes sense. And also, I think volunteers to be flight attendants. Used to be, the flight attendants would go through the motions of how the seatbelt works, what to do if the plane's about to crash, flotation device, those air things coming out of the ceiling, no smoking, that kind of thing. Nowadays, on El Al, it's a video. So, they have the video, walks you through it, the flight attendants are doing whatever, and I think anyone could do that. I mean, theoretically, they walk around, show people their seat, anyone could do that. The video is showing their safety procedures, which you have to do. Fantastic. Really, what else do they do? Serve drinks? They're not flying the plane. That's, I guess, a professional should do that. But they just, okay, for $50, who would want to be the flight attendant? And you put on that little scarf or the skirt that the women have, and you put a tie on if you're the guy. And I don't know. I think almost anyone could do that. Okay. Now, for the most important part. Yes. I waited 2 weeks because I did not want to jinx the Yankees for good or the Mets for bad. Well, it's over. It's over. Yankees haven't bounced the first round. And the Mets haven't bounced a couple of nights ago. Let's first talk about the past. The New York Yankees, the evil empire. Hope my friend Korn doesn't kill me for this. But Yankees with the highest payroll. Quote unquote, the best players. Future Hall of Famers. Randy Johnson. A-Rod, the King, Derek Jeter. I think it's over. I think it's finally over. The great Yankees, as we know them since the early, mid-90s, the evil empire. About a year ago, when the Yankees were actually in last place, I put on my, was it last year, 2 years ago? Well, whatever it was. I think it was 2 years ago. I brought in the clipping that the Yankees were in dead last behind Tampa Bay Devil Rays. And this reverse jinxed the Yankees as they went on to a great second half and went to the playoffs. And I think they went to the World Series that year. Actually, that was the year I think that the Red Sox, down 3-0, beat them 4 straight. But enough said about that. And last year I did the same thing. Mentioned them. And jinxed them and did not work out well because, again, they went far into the playoffs as well. This year, I did not say a thing other than the bet to Ralph Leibowitz, who would have the best record, Yankees or Mets. I left the Yankees alone, did not talk about them too much, and happy to say it actually worked out pretty well. Did not mention the Yankees in the podcast, my blog, did not mention the Yankees. Let them disappear disintegrate by themselves. So, this year, the Tigers, who have a payroll of maybe a quarter of the Yankees, no Hall of Famers. I mean, really, can you name more than two or three players in the Tigers? Verlander, Sean Casey. Really, offhand, who can you mention? Rodriguez, maybe borderline Hall of Famer, steroid user, perhaps. Other side, the mighty Yankees, who spend all that money, gone. Again, we're going back to a different era, the era of the 80s. Cabbage Patch Kids, New Kids on the Block. Actually, scratch that. New Kids on the Block reference. And it's not just me rooting against the Yankees. If you notice, during the playoffs, the commercials, the TV commercials, Tommy Lasorda, where a distraught Red Sox fan, I think she's locked in her room, crying, and he says, well, while the Red Sox aren't there, at least we can all root against the Yankees. And that's how it is. That's how it is. Sun sets, sun rises. Kohelis. Sun goes, new generation leaves, new generation comes. On the other hand, we have the arrival. The New York Mets made the playoffs first time since 2000, I think it was. Made it to the second round, did not go past, lost in Game 7 at Shea Stadium to the Cards. Old pitching. Pitching got injured. Not there. So, unfortunately, they did not make it to the series. Did not win the World Series this year. But again, we see the Yankees exit earlier. Not again, but we see the Yankees exit earlier. So this does make it a successful season for the Mets. But it's a step up. It's a step up. On the Yankees, it's a step down. So we do see a changing of the guard. The new Mets. The good team. Upbeat theme song, as opposed to the Yankees having the theme song from the Star Wars, the Evil Empire, the Imperial March theme song. This past week, my friend Lord Cornelius, married to Darth Varda, mentioned that the Mets are the evil ones. Gooden, Strawberry. But let's think back. When the Mets had Dwight Gooden and Darryl Strawberry, it was before they were alcoholics, druggies, wife beaters. They were good, and they turned evil. That's fine. No one's disagreeing with that. That's fine. The Yankees took them while they were evil. Just think back. Anakin Skywalker. Sure, he turned bad while he was on the good side of the Force. But he turned bad. And who took him? The dark side of the Force. Okay. The Yankees took Gooden Strawberry, knowing they were evil. They wanted to exploit them and use them, knowing that they were evil. Okay. Enough about this. People dying here, I'm sure. A couple of shout-outs. I saw Rabbi Ari Ankin, who actually mentioned this should not be more than 6 minutes, this podcast. And I'm like, I'm not sure if that's a compliment or... It's a good podcast. That's a good comment. Keep it down to 6 minutes. So I'm thinking, so it's only good for 6 minutes, or it's like boring for most of it. I wonder if he's trying to be nice to me, because I think maybe he mentioned that it perhaps should be 6 seconds. I'm not sure. But a few other shout-outs. David, who listens regularly, religiously. Donnie Lieberman, who's a fan. Shlomo Wolfish, who's a fan. And while there's no Asian music tonight, he's listens pretty listens. Dr. Joel, who I think listens. And I think that's about that. Kelly Lyons from work. She listens, and she mentions how well I speak Hebrew from the Tehillim earlier. So I don't have the heart to tell that that's. Don't know too much more than that, unfortunately. But that's about that. Thanks for listening. And we'll speak to you in a couple of days. Again, it's a little different than the regular Jewish history podcast. I actually left my book in Israel. I brought it to Israel. I thought I'd do some reading and catch up. But next installment, we will have, I hope, we will have some historical significance, and we'll not be talking about the evil empire and the Mets. Have a very good week. Again, today is, it's actually the eve of new month. It's October 21st, so it's the eve of the new month of Cheshvan. Have a very good month. Should be a month of Parnassa. Should be a month of Refuah for those people who need it. It should be a month of Shalom because we need that as well. Have a good night.